Rule number 15. Rule number 15. We must pay careful attention to the intent of the author and not simply the words. Why does this become a rule? Well, let me go back to an illustration that I gave you about my wife baking bread in the kitchen. I don't know if you were here when I gave this first illustration, so I'll say it again. I'm walking through the house. Now, both my wife and I cook. She's a much better cook. She's a baker as well. And so suppose one day I walk into the kitchen and there is my wife with flour all over her hands. And she says, "Honey, I'm baking bread. I'm out of flour. Could you run down to Walmart and pick up 10 pounds of whole wheat flour?" So I'm being a literalist that I am. I go into the bedroom and I lace up my running shoes and I jog down to Walmart because she said run. So I run down to Walmart. I go to the baking aisle. I find where the flour is. I pick up 10 pounds of flour. I put it back on the shelf and I jog back home. Now, have I fulfilled what my wife said? Well, you could say yes, I was very technically correct, but did my wife mean something else? The answer is yes. She was very intentional about what she was wanting, not just the words, but the intention is important. When Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine," can I become drunk with, let's say, beer? Is that appropriate? No, the answer is no. Because Paul didn't understand probably what beer was or all the various forms of alcohol. So that there is a principle there, meaning that it's more than just the words that have significance. And you know this, because when Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. I don't know very many people that take that literally. Actually, believe it or not, when I was a kid, there was a newspaper article that actually talked about somebody who actually did that. And tragic. But most people realize that what Jesus is talking about here is something that's deeper than just a literal than literally cutting the hand off or gouging out the eye. What Jesus was talking about is that no sin is worth going to the lake of fire over. Okay? It may be as painful as gouging out an eye or cutting off a hand, but compared with the lake of fire, it's well worth it. So whatever is causing us to sin, the cause factor, we need to cut that out of our lives. Okay, rule number 16, Bible study is a process, not a linear, it's a circular process, not a linear process. And what I mean by that is we tend to read in a linear way. And we pick up a book, we start at the beginning. Well, some people don't. Some people go to the end and then work back to the beginning. But most people will start it with a book, start at the beginning, they work to the end, and they close the book. That's not how we do Bible study. As we do Bible study, as we make discoveries, we begin to plug these new lessons we learned back into our knowledge that we've already gleaned. And it's actually kind of like an auger. For those of you who dig fence posts, you get out the auger, and it goes around and around and around and around and around. So as you learn things, you go deeper, and you go around in a circle, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the way the Bible study should be. As we loop back on what we've already learned, we're taking our discoveries, and we're plugging those in, and it becomes, it all of a sudden becomes bigger. Rule number 17, you can always change your mind, and I've already talked about this, so I won't go into this too much, but if in the process of Bible study you discover that something is not correct, let it go. This isn't about you. This isn't about pride. This isn't about trying to defend something that you've already said one time. But don't be dogmatic. It's not about you. And I, one of the classic stories that I think that I heard was a gentleman by the name of Art Chadwick. I don't know if you've ever heard of Art Chadwick, but he's a geologist. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. In fact, I think he's the head of scientific schools in, is it Southwestern? Anyways, he does geology, he's a biologist as well, just a fantastic person. And he wrote a book talking about these footprints in, is it Paluxy? Anyways, there was an interesting formation there in which they had what appeared to be human footprints right next to dinosaur footprints. And so he wrote a book about that, talking about how these were human footprints and there were dinosaur footprints. Well, that creates a real problem for evolutionists. And so the evolutionists really got on this, and they got on their high horse, and they did a lot of study on that, and they were, according to their evidence, they pointed that this could not be human and dinosaur, that they were all dinosaurs. Well, he looked at what they said, and you know what? He said, you know what? They have some valid arguments. I'm going to withdraw my book from the market. Now talk about that. When you publish a book, you know how much goes into publishing a book? And getting it and marketing it and everything. And then to be able to step back and say, you know what? It's more than, it's about truth. It's not just about defending a position. And he withdrew his book. And you know what? He's still a staunch creation scientist, and he's gone all over the world, and he does presentations, and he's done lots of other things. But he says, you know what? I don't have to defend that. I don't have to defend that. I'm willing to let that go. And you know, a lot of people have respected him for that. So you can always change your mind. Okay, this brings us to the conclusion of the general hermeneutics of how to study the Bible.